Welcome to the Rashawn Franklin Podcast, episode 35. I'm your host, Rashawn Franklin. And we have the first guest of the Rashawn Franklin Podcast back, John Shewitt. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me back. Good to be the original one.
Yeah, man. The first, I didn't even know what the hell this was, but I'm glad you're always open to talk about UK sports and sports in general. So I appreciate that. And it's good to have you back. How's everything? How's life?
It's been going good. I guess as good as it can be with all the COVID craziness we have going on right now. Didn't get to go home for Thanksgiving out of a friend testing positive, just as a precaution. But we got to talk on the phone with everybody. So, and everyone kind of understands. You got some senior members in the family. So just wanted to be safe. So how about you?
I'm good, man. I went home for Thanksgiving after I got tested. Kept it small though, just me and my mom. Some family members are at the tail end. They've caught it and are at the tail end of it. So thank God they're still, you know, healthy. But this is crazy. This is crazy. It happened. One of my grandmother's sisters passed away, and they had like a small gathering for a home going, and somebody had it. So, and that in turn gave it to everybody else, and it was multiple family members that ended up contracting it. So, you know, this it's a real thing. Like when you see it finally up close, you know, it's scary. So,
yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, I don't want to be too Debbie Downer. I mean, you know, we are going to talk about UK athletics, which, you know. is a little bit of a downer too, so I don't want this to be an emo pod.
Sometimes you just got to talk it out.
right, it's just therapy sort of. I called you on, I hit your inbox to talk about, I wanted to preview UKKU for, that's actually, this is Monday, that's happening on Tuesday. And then on Sunday, they fucking lost to Richmond. Like, and we'll talk about football too, because it's an all-encompassing problem with the program, it seems like. The state of UK athletics is one of the lowest points that it's been. Well, I don't want to say that, because there's a lot of good things going for the programs and UK athletics as a whole. But there are certain things that have to be fixed for us to, you know, fully enjoy this and be successful going forward. So before we get to basketball, let's talk about football and your feelings of where the program is. The team is 3-6 right now. What are your feelings so far about the season?
I've got conflicting feelings on the season. Like, they've had there's no denying that the team has had to overcome a lot of adversity, starting with the situation with Chris Oates being out for the year. I still don't think it's been disclosed exactly what's happened with him. Mm-hmm. I think there's suspicions, but I don't want to speculate on that, not knowing exactly what it was. Then you had like the deterioration of Schlarman and his cancer situation, and then his untimely passing earlier. So there is that aspect of it, and that's definitely incredibly difficult to deal with. So you don't want to make excuses, but those are two things that I feel like would really kind of impact a season and a group of guys who are still in their like most impressionable years. But at the same time, I did expect my prediction, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, was 6-4 for the football team. Really just lose your Alabama, Florida, Georgia, which happened, and kind of by, well, the Alabama game, not the margin we expected, but Georgia-Florida. Yeah, I think they just mailed it in after the second botched snap. And I think, yeah, just burned the tape on that one. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if you split one of Auburn and Tennessee, you were doing fine. We did that. But then, unfortunately, we lost to Missouri and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And then it gets back to kind of the conflicting thing on the season again. Like, what if we made that extra point and they missed the extra point? Like, what do we think about the season from that point? Mm-hmm. We're 5-5. Still not the record we wanted, but like an acceptable result when you're playing an all SEC P5 schedule. There's no breaks here and there. And then it's just tough. And now the fan base is just in such a like funk with football.
Yeah.
I think the timing of the schedule too is just absolutely killer for us, because all it just turned into a backloaded schedule. So we beat Tennessee. We go on a back-to-back road game at Missouri, who's actually a solid team this year. We didn't expect them to be. But now in hindsight, that loss doesn't look as bad, although we looked terrible in that game on offense. And then we have to follow that up immediately with Georgia at home. And then we have a bye week, if I'm not mistaken. And then we go straight into Alabama, Florida. And so those are games that we are not.
We have Vandy in between that, but
that's right.
Barely beat them, but
I'm still mad about. And there's the thing about the Vandy game too. It's like the final score was 3, and I get why they played musical quarterbacks at that time, because you want to see like what you got in Bo Allen and Gatewood. But we were up 17 with the ball midway through the fourth quarter in that one. So I mean, we are never actually in danger of losing that game. It's just
right. You
want to blow out against Vandy, but. I'm not totally disappointed. I still think this is like a top 40 level team. Mm-hmm. It's just we're not seeing it because we're playing Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and then we lost 2 games against Ole Miss and Missouri, who are kind of as good as we are. It's disappointing because they had first-year coaches in a COVID season. But they have similar talent to us, and they could have easily beat us given the right circumstances, and they hit it and we didn't. So. Mm-hmm. 4-6 is in the realm of possibility as long as we beat South Carolina, which we should. And then overall, disappointing, but not like just out of nowhere. Now, you can talk about how the offense looks this year. And I don't think it's as much as a play calling thing as I think it's a recruiting miss thing 3 years ago. I just don't – the offense, I just don't think we hit. Like the whether it be evaluation or just bad recruiting luck, I think that's more what it is with play calling. Although the play calling is, there's some much room for improvement there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I kind of dismiss what you said when we, you know, losing to Ole Miss and changing our win loss total just 1 and, you know, how that would have been just nothing. But in an all SEC schedule, you're right. You know, 5-5 changes our outlook on what this team is. And you alluded to everything that this team is going through, like losing a coach in the middle of the season and just being hit with the Chris Oates thing before you even started. It is a lot. And John Schlarman, man, I covered the team for, I think, his first two years. And he was just one of those coaches that you talk to that – will actually sit down with the media, you know, and actually go over certain things. Because when I talk to these coaches, I want to actually talk football. Like I wanted to ask them about position battles and what guys look good in practice and what was their outlook against other teams. And he would really go in depth with me when you get him to the side by yourself. And to lose a guy like that, who you know just seemed like one of the good guys in this program, it's tough, man. And, you know, you hate to lose a cat at any time, but especially a guy like him. So, but yeah, go ahead. Were you about to say something?
I remember, I think it was like on one of those kind of like media tributes to Schlarman, like I think ESPN ran it. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't remember what school he was at or what he was doing before. Like then Stoops came and interviewed him. And I think somebody told him, and just kind of going for like wildcat for life and all that. It's like, just don't accept the job. Like, make sure you like do the salary, like negotiate like a salary beforehand. And he's like, yeah, okay, okay. And right. Then I think it was his wife. And then he came back to the, he came back later and was like, yeah, I didn't even ask what the salary was. I just took the job. Like, that's how much I wanted to be there. So,
yeah. You know, you're a cat, and I mean, you just fall in love with the university. I love UK, and you know, I feel like everybody who you know is a player, is a student, has fond memories of Lexington and their time at UK. And, you know, yeah, like I said, it's just hard to lose a cat, especially one that impactful. So, but yeah, so to me, with the outlook of this program, my first experiences with Mark Stoops, I didn't think he was that very good of a coach. the difference between how the program has changed is we're able to, we got better facilities and we're able to recruit a lot better. So we're not going to be in the same realm as far as, you know, quality athlete as, you know, the Floridas, the Alabamas, and, you know, Georgia, et cetera. So we have to have a great X's and O coach that gets the team prepared week in and week out to sort of close that gap and be able to compete in each and every game. And I don't think Mark Stoops is that. He's obviously a great recruiter. We brought in, you know, tremendous talent, tremendous guys, a lot of guys going to the NFL, more guys going to the NFL than we've ever had. But he has to get better X's and O's wise for us to really take that step. And that's my view of the situation. And, you know, I watching him up close at the beginning, I knew he was a young head coach, but he didn't necessarily strike me as a guy who had his team prepared. And you can see that a lot of the times that we just don't look prepared to go in certain games. And I think that has to change as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's not the best in-game coach in the country. Like, there's no denying that. I mean, wasn't there a game this year where we had 10 players on the field again? I kind of black those out at this point, honestly. Like, he is a really good recruiter. We're consistently at the top 30 level, which is exactly what we need. We're taking guys from, like we're not just taking project guys from, like, App State and, like, Coastal Carolina like we used to. We're taking guys from, like, Michigan State, like, secondary guys for like Ohio State would kind of fill in like the bottom half of their recruiting classes with, like, so we're getting like legit Power Five guys now, which is like a big step up. And I do think Stoops is legitimately good at developing defensive talent. Mm-hmm. And Bud Dupree came in, he was a really good player when he came in, but was he like a surefire NFL guy at that point? I don't know. He might.
Bud isn't a good guy. I think Za'Darius might be a better one, because Bud, you could always see he had, and maybe Stoops sort of refined who he was.
See, I think that's what I'm trying to get at there. Okay. Like, Bud was always talented, but like, he obviously became something better under Stoops.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that.
Then Za'Darius as well. Like, he came in as a JUCO guy, a 3-star JUCO, I think. Mm-hmm. And he developed as well, and then he's obviously become a star in the NFL, like getting a huge second contract. And then we had obviously Josh Allen come in as a 2-star and then develop into what, number 7 overall pick back for the Jags. And
yeah, that was a mistake recruiting wise, because that guy, even when you flipped on his high school tape, you saw just a freak of nature. I don't know, somebody just missed. But we were lucky to have him. And I think he's the best player ever at UK to me, as far as impacting the game. When you turn the film on, he's the guy that, you know, will win you the game just off of his pure talent. It hasn't ramped up in the NFL like I thought it would. I thought he was going to be still really, really good, but I thought he was going to be a 12 to 15 sack guy a year, and he still can't get there, but man, he was incredible, you know, when you turn on the film there. And I don't want to give knock Stoops for that, because he does develop guys like that and sort of push them to where they can be. But he does do a good job of getting good position coaches as well. And they help as well. Because Jimmy Brumbaugh, I know he got fired in that whole situation with Tennessee, but he was I would watch practice and he would be, you know, so focused on getting these guys better that he really helped, you know, develop those guys as well.
Mm-hmm. I think he's really good at developing defensive guys. And obviously we've had some really good offensive guys come through here as well. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously we had Bowden, and then I mean, even Ahmad Wagner, he's not an NFL guy by any means, but we were just able to showcase what he was able to do, which is draw pass interference on every single play.
Right.
Sometimes that's the best offense you can do. But ultimately, I think Stoops, like, when you go to 4 straight bowl games, you get some leeway at Kentucky.
And, absolutely.
And next year, our schedule is very favorable, even though we lose a lot of our defensive line. We play, if I remember off the top of my head, it's UL Monroe and tell you what, you know, with the magic of the internet, I can tell you exactly who we play next year.
Yeah.
So next year, I know it's UL Monroe, and they are one of the bottom five teams in the country. You have New Mexico State, who's one of the bottom 10 teams in the country. You got Chattanooga, who's your crappy FCS team. And you got Louisville, and who knows what's going to happen there. Like, will they have the same coach? I know the recruiting's still not great. Like, we just passed them, and we have, like, five fewer players than them. So that's not good. Then we have a rebuilding Vanderbilt, rebuilding South Carolina. We have the gimmick Mike Leach. Like, all you got to do is drop eight, and they're not scoring on you. You got a Tennessee team coming to Lexington who could – sure, we're cursed against them. We beat them this year by a lot, but it's the same thing. We're cursed still.
Yeah.
And you got Missouri. And then you got LSU. So they might develop into – they're not going to develop into the top five team they were and the best team ever that they were.
Oh, my God.
They still got so much talent on that team, but who knows what's going on with Ogeron. So, I mean, next year – like, you don't know what you're getting with the offense. I think the defense is going to be really good again. I really do. And the only two surefire losses you got on that schedule are Georgia and Florida. Because you don't know what you're getting with LSU. And then the rest of them, there's a lot of rebuilding there. So, I mean, this could just be a one-year blip. It really could be. Because that schedule is looking favorable next year.
Yeah, I hope so. Because – it seemed like, I mean, we talked beforehand, it seemed like this was like one of the most talented teams we've had, and to end the season like that with so much that happened and then, you know, not really getting the most out of the talent that we had on this roster, it just sucks. How do you feel about them not potentially taking a bowl game?
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, it kind of goes back to like what they've been through this year. I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, you have to. Like, if you don't, you lose out on money that goes to, like, all your friends on the other teams. And, like, it's – like, granted, these kids aren't getting paid when they should be.
Right.
Like, when you're not going to a bowl game, like, that's going to hurt the whole university. Which, I mean, it's kind of like the trade-off. Like, you should be getting paid and you should do that. But at the same time, like, you have friends on other teams as well. Like, so, I mean – it's just a hard – it's just a really hard situation. It really is. I could support them if they did or didn't. Honestly, it's just difficult. It really is.
Yeah. You wonder if they feel like they don't deserve it or, you know, that they feel like – I don't know. I think they just want to end – like you said, they've been through so much. They just want to probably end the season and just, you know, chalk it up. Like, you know, let's move on to the next season. Let's get these kids some rest emotionally. And just go forward. But that is kind of out of characteristic for UK to not take a bowl game if extended the invitation. So
see, it's crazy. If we come out beat South Carolina, I think we win by like a touchdown or so, because with JJ Weaver out now, they can just hit us with little pop passes over the middle with no linebackers all day. Ultimately, we're at home and still better than them, but we should beat them. We beat them, we're 4-6, and then you play, I don't know, like Kansas State or Wake Forest in like the Music City Bowl or something. You beat them, you go 5-6. You have five P5 wins, and the season's still disappointing, but ultimately it could have been a lot worse if you finished 5-6.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to like put a knot on the just football season, like I'm disappointed, but like not discouraged.
Okay.
So – the offense, yes. The defense, I think, has had to do a lot of the lifting with them just being on the field all the time. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely room for improvement on the play calling. I don't know why we don't go to our tight ends more, like especially when Josh Ali is like the only option at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And like he's a fine number two option. Like he's not a guy who can lead in like SEC caliber like receiving core, I don't think. So ultimately disappointed, but not like just discouraged. And like the people who are responding to Matt Jones on Twitter, it's like, how can we be a 7-point favorite? We can't even score seven. it's like we've played two horrible offenses this year or two horrible defenses this year in Vandy and Ole Miss. And we scored 30 plus on both of those.
Right.
And like we scored 30 plus on the road at Tennessee. Scored 24 against Mississippi State. So hasn't been great, but it certainly could be a lot worse. I think people are just losing perspective with, we didn't have like our horrible out of conference games like we always do. Mm-hmm. So you can't really look at the record and like just kind of pat yourself on the back for a winning record. It's like, really, it's kind of the same conference like record we always have, just two extra games padded on. So, yeah.
Who was the best, in your opinion, offensive coordinator that Stoops has had so since he's been here? Neil Brown?
I think it's Gran. I really do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because Neil Brown was – I think ultimately Neil Brown is a better offensive play caller now than Eddie Gran is. Mm-hmm. But that's only because I don't think Stoops actually wanted to run up tempo. I think he's still kind of the old school, like hanging on to like defense, still wins championships, all that. Like, I think one of Stoops's actual problems is he listens to the fan base too much. As I remember, like, because it goes back to just hiring Neil Brown in the first place and then Shannon Dawson right after, like they ran the up tempo stuff. I think he wanted to do that to please the fan base because they wanted to get back to the memories of the air raid.
And the damn horn.
Yeah. But ultimately, like, I just don't think he wants to be the up-tempo guy. I think Gran, with the players that we have had, ran, like, the perfect offense for the defense that Stoops wants to run. Mm-hmm. Which, in college, can be a legitimate strategy. Just sit on the ball on offense, make a couple of good plays, like, control the tempo. Let your defense do the heavy lifting and just let the other team make mistakes. Like, it's not the pro game where you have to like have that quarterback. Like, you can win in college at a decent level. You can't win a national title anymore with it, or probably a conference championship. But like, you can win 7, 8, 9 games in a regular season just by letting the other team make mistakes. Like, that's a legitimate strategy in college, I think.
I think the game is sort of shifting back towards that. Football and the style of it ebbs and flows, like, you know, like, and I think that, you know, smash mouth, slogging offenses are going to be back in style soon. So I agree that he, you know, with the air raid, it doesn't fit the defense that Stoops wants to run. Like, it's a mismatch. And that'll hurt your game plan day in and day out. So yeah, I agree that the meshing doesn't fit. But Neil Brown was like, I mean, he was really good at for that the time we had him.
And also, we didn't have any talent when Neil Brown was here on offense. So that's right. Kind of a handicap as well. But Neil Brown's been doing really well for himself. He succeeded really well at Troy. He's doing well this year at West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Strangely enough, with his defense and not the offense. But yeah. But ultimately, I just keep going back to, like, we've had good offenses under Stoops and Gran. Mm-hmm. We've had – last year we had to run 3 completely different offenses. Starting out with Terry, then him getting hurt, we went to Sawyer Smith, who was awful. I don't know what it is about Sawyer Smith. I just don't like him. It's like his fumble on the first drive against Florida, like, you could see, like, the moment was just too big for him.
Yeah.
Like, he was fine G5 quarterback, but the moment was just too big for him. And then we go to Lynn Bowden, like, just single wing, just run it down your throat offense, like 3 offenses in 1 year. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you go back to like the Steven Johnson years where Drew Barker got hurt and he kind of had to retool there a little bit too. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to 2018 where we had like skill guys and we had Benny Snell. We had, Josh Ali is the 3. We had Lynn Bowden receiving. Mod Wagner, I don't think he was there yet, if I remember right.
I think it was a little bit later, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, just kind of that offense was perfect for exactly what Stoops wanted. You got your big chunk play sometimes, but just ball control, keep grinding the clock, let your defense do most of the winning, and let your offense like make the plays when they have to. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's ultimately what Stoops wants.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've had, like, good, successful offenses. Not in, like, the raw points per game just because we're not running tempo. But, like, we've had decent offenses for the defenses they've had to go up against every week. So,
yeah.
Ultimately, I'm one of the people who's willing to give Gran another year just because, like, it's a hard year and all that, but there do need to be some slight play. Like, we need to throw to the tight ends more. We really do. Those guys are, by all accounts, are really good. We need to make sure we keep DeKeel Crowdis and I can't remember the other kid's name. He's from Alabama, I believe. He's like a top 500 wide receiver or top 500 player national. Crowdis is top 250. Mm-hmm. You have Dingle coming in as a tight end who's really good, and then we have another wide receiver as well. Like, I feel like the top two wide receivers are day one guys, and then you got your Drennan, who's kind of like a running back wide receiver combo this year, just on the plays that he's got. So I think just kind of the root cause of what's wrong with the offense is, now granted, it's the SAS fault because they recruited those guys here. I think it's ultimately just recruiting misses, like on the wide receiver. I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, and as you're talking about the offenses, the offense not being able to keep up with the defense as far as production, it just goes back to, I just think about the Bears. Like, that's been who the Bears have been my entire life, and now my college team has turned into that. Yeah. it's kind of insane. So, you want to talk about basketball a little bit?
We have to.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll let you lead off of this one. I think the person who said it best was, you live in Indianapolis now, so I don't know how well you remember Chris Bailey, the weatherman. I saw him tweet out yesterday. It's like, man, I remember when, like, we used to get, like, really upset over these losses, and now I just feel nothing.
It's like, I'm numb. I tried to pinpoint the point at which everything changed, and I think it was 2015, man. I think that us almost getting to the mountaintop and winning and then Duke stealing the national championship that was supposed to be ours, mm-hmm. really has had a cloud over this program ever since, and a funk that we haven't necessarily been able to get out. It's like, it's almost like we have to win a national championship to, you know, reassert who we are as a program. And that's kind of not fair to Cal and the players that are coming in, but it's just like, it's been just this cloud over the program and the fans for going on 5 years now. But
like, it just doesn't feel fun anymore.
It's like, not. It's
and
not.
I'll, it feels like I a will business. Say the Monk, Fox, and Bam team, that team was fun. I enjoy watching that. So that's 1 year in, like, this whole 5 year funk we have been in, where it has been, like, fun. Like, four out of those other 5 years, it just feels like a job.
It
like,
does.
To tune in. Like, and that's the thing about Cal. It's like, when he first came here, like, the offenses were, like, adaptable. Like, you had John Wall and Cousins and Bledsoe, who were, like, kind of playing, like, at the time, like, your in-style, like, high-low action. And then you had the next year with, like, Jerron Lamb, Brandon Knight, Jones, and all them, and you played, like, the perfect inside-out game, mm-hmm. like, just five out. And then you had 2012, or just the perfectly constructed team. Like, you could have done anything with that team. Mm-hmm. 13, obviously, is your aberration. Probably would have made the tournament if Noel didn't get hurt, but that year was what it was. And then you had 14. Took a while for them to get going, and then 15 was obviously the super team.
Yeah.
Like, I get what you're saying. It's just a funk. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And I think there were subtle changes. I think Kenny Payne going to the Knicks, that wasn't his choice. I think that, and I'm not sure what Matt Jones has said about this, because, I mean, he has probably the most intel of any media member, but, you know, it seemed like Kyle wanted to shake it up. And I do like Jai Lucas. I'm so on Bruiser Flint, but they needed to shake some stuff up around the program. And I think, you know, getting younger in a lot of ways is going to help them. It helped with recruiting already, to me. You know, it seemed like we're getting earlier guys. We seem like we're getting a different caliber guy now than we've been getting the past couple of years. And that could just be it. You know, we're just not getting the caliber guy that we used to. And that's where the funk is lying. But it's to not make a three in a game in 2020.
For the second time in Cal's tenure, the second time we have not made a three in a game.
Yeah, and they've been in like the last 2 years, right? I think that was PJ's team that did that, broke the streak.
Yeah, it was the Tyler Hero team. It was again. No, it was the year before that. It was against Davidson when we did it.
Who was on that? Who was that? That was PJ. Oh, Shea. Knox. Okay, yeah. Now I remember. And that team isn't – those guys aren't good three-point shooters, so that makes more sense, yeah. That can't happen. Like, what – is there – I've been saying on Twitter, and I don't know if I necessarily subscribe to this. Has the game passed Kyle by?
And see, that I think it has. I just don't think he wants to change his ways now out of, like, I can't even put a reason on it. I don't know. And, like, I'm old enough to remember, like, I was in high school when we were doing this, and that's when I was getting into, like, message boards and all that. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, the Tubby Ball comments and, like, me buying that at the time, like, just because I didn't want Tubby here anymore, just because mm-hmm. the results had fallen off from, like, the first half of Tubby to the second half. Like, in reality, it wasn't Tubby Ball, like, it wasn't like a bad offense or anything. It was the same exact offense everyone else was running at that time. Mm-hmm. It was just the recruiting had fallen off a little bit, which from like Tubby was like a top five class every year, top 10 on off years. And then it, like, they were still rated high, but like you could see the talent was what it was at the beginning part.
Yeah.
And like, but now like there's been a seismic change in really all sports. And I don't think other than baseball, there's been a bigger change in any sport other than like basketball.
Yeah.
It's all threes and dunks now, layups, which we get a lot of layups and dunks, which is a great shot to do. Mm-hmm. But we take no threes and we substitute all the threes we don't take with very long step in twos. And it's just like watching, I don't get it. Like, I just don't understand. There's all this evidence out there that says this is a more advantageous way to play. Especially when you have the guys who can get open and create their own shots and everything. And the crazy thing is, like, he has a defense that's tailored to do exactly what his offense doesn't do. It's right. Funnel all people into taking long twos and get your shots blocked at the rim and have them take long contested threes. Like, so he understands this defensively, but I don't know what it is about the offense that he just, like, he's just like, no, I don't want to. I don't understand it.
So the X's and O guy is John Robick, right?
Yeah, I know he's like the big film guy. He's kind of like behind the scenes now. I think he's taken over what Dwayne Peavy was, kind of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But from what I heard, Dwayne Peavy tells Cal no a lot more than John Robick does, even though John Robick kind of does.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, I could definitely see that. Why not go get a – I think – Kyle is married to, you know, a lot of what we heard when he came to UK and, you know, what we heard before in Memphis and his past stop at UMass. He's the dribble drive guy. And I don't think he wants to change anything of what he is as a person. It's made him who he is. He's gotten to the top of the mountaintop. Like, he's the Kentucky coach. Like, he's at the best program in the country. So who's to tell him, you know, that he needs to change at this point. So I just think he's been stubborn and not wanting. And it's another thing is he probably thinks that going to a different offense will stunt the growth of these kids. And maybe he's right. He's been running the same offense since he's gotten for a long, long time. But his guys, when they get to the NBA, are turning into superstars. So maybe he thinks that, you know, I don't want to change what I'm doing because the players are benefiting. Why would I change anything? You're just going to keep doing what we're doing and hopefully we win a national championship, but that isn't appeasing the fans. Like, the fans, we're getting all this talent, however many draft picks we've had in the last, you know, his era, and only one national championship to show for it. It's getting frustrating. And these past 5 years have been even more frustrating to the point that it's like, what are we doing here? Something has to change. He's made a little changes here and there, but we might have to make a wholesale change as far as what we run day in and day out. And hopefully this is a wake up call for not just him, but you got athletic like Mitch. Like everybody has like, what are we? We're losing to Richmond at home. Like, what's going on here? And I took a look at that game again. We're definitely the superior team, obviously, but I think without a crowd, the run that we would have made to put us ahead never came. Like the crowd would have made Richmond a little rattled, and we would have been able to make that push, and we were never able to do that. So I think you're going to see that a lot in college basketball, to where if there's no fans or not a lot of fans, you know, home teams are susceptible to losses because, you know, it's not going to be able to really take the away team out of their comfort zone. So, man, tough loss, especially going into a game that I think we're going to win against KU. You don't want to be 2-1. You could have made a push for a top five team in the country, and now look at us. So,
oh, I can see it coming too, and I'm already sick. I know we're going to beat Kansas by like 5 points. Oh, I can just feel it. And then we're going to win that. And then like, this is the part that makes me sick about it. Like Calipari's going to sit in the post game press conference and see, he said, "So you told you so."
Right.
You guys were, it's like the thing, like it's okay to lose to a good solid team like Richmond every once in a while. Like I remember when like teams used to beat us like that, when Texas A&M beat us in like 2013. Now that wasn't a good team that beat us, but they had Elston Turner just go off for like what, 48 points or something like that. That's a game where you just tip your cap, move on. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And like even like the Ole Miss game where they didn't beat us in 2015, but they had that one guy go off for like 38. It's like, you know, tip your cap to that guy. It was his night. Like he could have beat any team in the country. Mm-hmm. Richmond didn't play that good.
Like, they played terrible.
They like, and you usually have to get a team shooting a million threes and making them to like beat a team like Kentucky on the road. They shot 25% yesterday.
It's not good.
They didn't have a single guy go off where you can just tip your cap and say like, "Hey, this guy beat us. You know, we'll just move on, shake their hand." Like they played just solid team ball. And like, there is nothing extraordinary about Richmond beating us. They just beat us. Another disappointing thing. Like, it's just, it doesn't take extraordinary efforts to beat us anymore. It just takes, yes. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. It's ugly, man. They play bad. And, you know, I was thinking, this is the most talent. I mean, even you can see last night that this is, you know, a different level talent team than we've had in a while. We have guys that are legitimate top 7-8, two guys that are legit top 7-8 NBA prospects. We haven't had that in a long time. Like all of our guys lately have been, you know, late lottery, you know, just not that high. And to lose, it speaks to a bigger problem. It has to be on the coaching staff. We're losing to Evansville and Richmond back-to-back years. You know, this isn't good, man. Something has to change, man. I hope it's not. I hope you're wrong. I hope Cal isn't over the hill and the game is passing by, because that would suck, because he's going to continue to get good recruits. But we're never going to win. So it's going to be like, we're stuck with this guy because we just got to roll the dice on him. And I hope that's not the case. I really do.
One thing I will say, like the greats always figure it out at the end. It's just a matter of if he wants to or not. Cause there was a period of time after 2009 where Roy Williams was in the exact same situation that Cal's in right now. It's like, he just can't do it anymore. He's too old. Then Krzyzewski had to deal with the same thing. He had to revamp with one and done. I think Cal's doing it the wrong way with these grad transfers, because I remember the days where we used to get guys who are deciding to go like play pro ball in Europe for a year, play a year in college, or they're deciding to come back and play like for a national championship versus going like borderline lottery. Now we're like, we got guys going like, "Well, I'll probably be a second round pick and I'll just go." Or we have guys coming from different schools saying, "I could just graduate and like go work at my dad's car dealership, or I could play gear at Kentucky." Like it's like the balance is just off now. Like we used to have guys debating to go like lottery NBA, or you can come back here and go top five NBA. Now we have guys just, I can go be an accountant, or I could, I guess I could go play at Kentucky. Like, I guess it's like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah,
it's just like, we don't have that same like aura we used to. Like,
yeah,
it's just disappointing.
Another thing is he might have to stop forcing guys out. I mean, Cal's, you know, had his pick of the litter when it comes to recruiting. And he's always said, you know, if you have a chance to get drafted at any point, leave. Maybe I take that back, because you sort of have to leave. But the problem is they're not that good. So it would be great if they just stayed another year for us as fans. But you know, his ultimate goal, more so to win a national championship, is to get these kids paid. And you know, I can't ever knock that. But it's like, at some point we have to take that step, man. We gotta cash in. Like, when are we gonna cash in? And I thought it was this year, but national championship teams just don't lose to Richmond at home. They just don't. They just don't. And you know, you can call it out quick now that this isn't gonna happen. Even though this should be a fun team, we're very, very talented, top to bottom. We got a lot of guys that are gonna play really good pro ball at some point in their lives. In the NBA, not just overseas. And it just seems like we're not going to be able to reach the potential that I think we had coming in this year. But I'll say this, though. Brandon Boston and Terrence Clark, they're not the guys to just, like, take – and even Olivier Saar, to a certain extent, they are – you can tell as they play angry. Like, they play like they want to kill the other team. It just didn't work out yesterday. Like, they didn't shoot enough threes to win the game. It was just an ugly game that you kind of got to, like, move on from if you're a player, not as a fan. We've got our own gripes that about the entire situation. But they're going to play angry, and they're going to try to, you know, I mean, I think they'll be KU, I think. But I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder for the rest of the year now, which will be fun to watch. I'm dialing back my expectations on the national championship for sure. That's not happening, I think. So let's just have fun with the team again. It's, you know, it sucks. I hate where we're at.
Yeah. It's like one thing to go like 0 of 22 from three. You can just like shake it off and say, hey, like, it was just a horrible day. We went 0 of 10, took 10 threes. Oh, the zero is bad enough, but taking 10 and the game that we lost to beat Davidson, but had zero threes, or 0 for 8. Like, we're the bottom of the nation and like taking threes, and like, we just replace them all with long twos. Like, you're just introducing a lot of variance, but with none of the positive side of the variance. You're only introducing the negative side when you do that.
Yeah.
And I still remember the stat from the Wisconsin game in 2015. We shot 40% from three. We went 2 of 5.
Oh my God. With Devin Booker on the team. Devin Booker.
He's a superstar.
And the Harrisons, they were not great three-point shooters, but they were serviceable three-point shooters. Yeah. And you had Ulis, who was open all the time, who was a 40% shooter. Mm-hmm. Granted, at lower volume, but it's just, I don't know.
You think somebody has said anything to him? Like, I mean, yesterday had to be a wake-up call. Like, we have to shoot more three. But we've got good shooters now. Davion Mintz, Askew, Brandon Boston, Terrence Clark, they're all pretty decent shooters. Even Olivier Saar, not a like a three-point shooter, but he could step out, hit an 18-footer, like, he's knocked down right there. They have to do something. Like, you have to start running three-point plays, man. You can't do this. Just shoot more threes. Like, maybe shoot 5 more a game. Like, that's it. Like, that's 5 possessions, and they might go down. Like, I don't know. Something has to change. It's so frustrating.
Like, I don't know if it even is, because when we lost, or when we beat Davidson 0 of 8 from 3 that game, like, that's when Cal, like, first knew, like, of, like, the three-point streak that we had. And, like, it's not, like, the best record to have.
That's a
lie.
It's something
cool that Kentucky fans had to, like, say, hey, we've made threes in this many games, and, like – and like, that's just a cool thing. It's not important, but it's like a cool thing. And the fact that in the year 2018 and then 2020, you could lose a streak like that. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that even possible?
Well, Cal's lying. He knew about the streak. He knows everything. He just doesn't care. but now
it's clear he does not.
He does not care. But now it's like, okay, you have to be self-aware at some point, and not just tune everybody out and say that, okay, this is actually a problem. We're going to have to change this a little bit. It would have to be some of the young guys. It might have to be like Ja Lucas or even Joel Justice to say, like, hey, we got to switch up everything we're doing or this isn't going to work. So, and it's hard to sell that to recruits. Like, we didn't hit a three. Well, I don't really want to go do that for a whole year. Like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, and I go back to when Hero made that shot against Houston in the Sweet 16. You had Cal standing right next to him just yelling, drive! And it's like,
no!
he said that to Malik Monk, too, when he hit the shot against UNC in the Vegas game. He's like, drive! Right in front of him. It's like, no, I'll just hit this really nice three here, put it out of reach, and that'll be it.
And that'll be game time.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, Cal, man, I love you. I love you, bro. But
it's such an easy fix too. Like I just don't know why he doesn't. It's just, I don't know.
That's tough. Well, we'll see. I think we're gonna beat KU, and then we'll sort of get, I guess, some semblance of, you know, a decent season coming back. I got it. Before I let you go, I got to talk to you about, I guess you were drunk tweeting one day, and
may have been on the golf course.
Oh, were you? Yeah. You said that Ohio State was the best team you've ever seen. And I was like, you know, after you said that, I went and turned on the team. They were playing Penn State that day, I think.
I think it was Nebraska, which is
why. Was it Nebraska?
Because I got excited that day where they won by like 1,000 that day.
Okay.
And I did win some money on that day, on that game too, so I was feeling a little cocky as well.
What was the spread? It was the spread
it closed at 24.5, if I remember right. I bet it back in the summer when it was like on Bovada, like Ohio State minus 16. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, yes, please.
That's easy money.
Yeah, those game of the year lines are just a delight, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta let your money sit there for a while, but there's some insane value on those. Absolutely. Just because books aren't doing their homework. But I went back to last year, and I'm just thinking about it again. Like, Ohio State was incredible last year. They destroyed everybody. And Clemson was incredible last year too. Like, and they're just as good as that Ohio State team. Then LSU is obviously head and shoulders above both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and even that Alabama team, they lost twice, but with Tua and the talent they had Jalen Waddle, they had Ruggs, they had Jerry Jeudy, they have Devontae Smith on that team.
Oof.
They have Najee Harris on that team last year. Those four teams were the four best teams ever last year.
Yeah.
And I thought Fields taking that step up with Ohio State, which I think he's gotten better. He's had some head scratching plays under pressure, a few on against Indiana that just mystifying that he would try and make that play down. But I really underestimated. I thought Ohio State was they are recruiting at the level, but they're not recruiting and developing to that high end that Clemson and Alabama still are. Mm-hmm. You notice Okuda and the secondary, and then also Chase Young gone, but not to the level that it was. So.
Yeah,
and then it took more than one game to see to see that I was wrong on that take. But that's what happens when me and my brother and a few friends get together on the golf course after a few Miller Lights. start to feel yourself a little bit.
Oh yeah, and then man, put the Twitter in front of you. You say any type, anything.
You can type anything on the internet, and then I'll just go there,
and it's there forever. So well, I guess. Yeah, man, that was pretty funny. But yeah, it happens to all of us. Who wins the national championship this year?
I think it's Alabama. It just depends on – I don't know what they're going to do with the seeding. So that's kind of the fun thing. It's going to be one of the same eight teams all year. It's going to be Alabama, obviously. I think they're just going to do everything they possibly can to get Ohio State in there, even if they're only 6-0. I still think they're like the elite of the elite. They're just not as nearly as good as I thought. Then Clemson and then Notre Dame, provided that Clemson beats Notre Dame with Lawrence. And it was crazy watching, like, because I've watched a lot of Clemson this year, and like I thought they were still good with DJ. And I'm going to mess up the last name. Uyunglele.
It's a tough last name, yeah.
I think I got close there. But, like, he was still really good when he was there. Like, I've never been, like, the guy who, like, looks at, like, the player and said, like, I always look at stats. I mean, you obviously know me with that. Mm-hmm. It's like I was watching the game with, like, the Clemson-Pitt game last week and then compare that to the Notre Dame-Boston College game that Clemson played. Like, DJ makes, like, the really good play to great play. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence makes the perfect play every time. Like, and you – I don't know what it is. You can just see it. Like, he just makes the perfect throw, the perfect play, whereas DJ just makes, like, the great play, which is insane. Like, Clemson's so good. They really are.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is definitely going number one overall. I really like Justin Fields. I think there's a talent – discrepancy, though. I think Trevor Lawrence is a lot more talented than that guy. But there is a lot of quarterbacks that are going to go in the top, you know, 10 that I think are really, really good, though. I think Justin Fields is really good. I think he'll have a pretty good NFL career. But Trevor Lawrence is special. He's, to me, he's on that Joe Burrow level of prospect. So We'll see him in the league shortly. Hopefully he gets through this injury-free and can take off running. So,
man, and going back to these quarterbacks, and, like, I think it goes back to UK and recruiting misses again. Mm-hmm. Like, we were this close to having Mac Jones and Wandale Robinson.
Like, I watched Wandale Robinson a couple of days ago. He is the real, bro. He is so good.
Poor decision-maker, though. He went to Nebraska.
Right. That I don't know what was he thinking there, but he got some stuff with him. He's nice.
Just think, if we have those two guys, obviously we're not Heisman or, like, national championship, but if we just get those two guys with this Kentucky team.
Oh, man.
Like, that just goes back to recruiting misses. Like, if we get those two guys, I think we think of everything completely differently this year.
Does UK need better recruiting evaluators? Is that
on offense? Something? Yes. Okay. Because, like, we're still developing, like, as we put Lonnie Johnson, like, he's, like, a key contributor for the Texans defense. Say what you want about the Texans defense. Like, we've put, obviously, the three, like, pass rushers, like, in the league. I know we've put a linebacker in, like, or am I just imagining that?
Like, Danny Trevathan.
Yeah, Trevathan. That was a Joker guy, though.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I'm not sure if we had a linebacker, a Stoops linebacker. I don't think so.
It's going to come back. I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. and then just say the name, like, just wake up like a nightmare. But no, we've had, like, Stoops is really good at developing defensive talent, like game day stuff. Probably not, but he has gotten better at that. I think he's very good at developing and finding defensive guys. Like, even finding, like, the 2-star. I know you said Allen was a miss, but, like, he saw it. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Able to get him. But I think we just need to focus, like, all of our recruiting on offense, because Stoops can build a good defense, like, which I think we've addressed this year. As long as we can keep the guys like Crowdis, as long as we can, I'm gonna have to look up the second guy's name because that's just bothering me right now. He's from Alabama. I know his name, but I just can't remember it off the top of my head. The magic of Christian Lewis. That's his name.
Okay.
And then we got Jordan Dingle, who's supposed to be a good pass-catching tight end. Then Chauncey Magwood. All those guys are top 500 nationally, except Magwood, who's 536, which is close enough for me. Because, honestly, what's the difference between 536 and 499?
Yeah, nothing. not at all. Yeah, it looks like Alabama's going to win it. They're just different again.
Angry. I think what it comes down to is, what's the seeding going to be?
Yeah.
So if Clemson beats Notre Dame, basically who's going to be the 4 seed? Because we know Alabama's going to be the number one, I think, even if they lose, as long as Notre Dame doesn't go undefeated. But if Alabama has to play Clemson in the first round, that's Lawrence, who I still think, and you think too, is the best quarterback in the country. And like, that's a real good matchup. And I think those are the two best teams. Mm-hmm. And if you get Ohio State, Notre Dame on the other side, I think Notre Dame can win that one, but I would favor Ohio State. Notre Dame is legit though.
They are legit. I was going to say that. Yeah. The defense, they got a defensive lineman who's like insane. I watched them against UNC. He was everywhere. And Ian Book looks angry. Like,
yeah, he's taken a step up this year. He's been really good. He looks
pissed. And when your quarterback is pissed, that's good, because he's going to come and try to hoop every single week. So,
yeah, this is not the same Notre Dame team that got shut out versus Clemson that one time. It's a different team. They're real good. Mm-hmm.
For sure. They're really, really good. That's going to be a fun playoff. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure Alabama comes out on top just because of their sheer – it just looks just dominant. But it's some really good secondary team. 2, 3, and 4 are still really, really, really good. So –
strangely enough, with like how crazy the season has been, like I think this might be the best playoff we've ever gotten if it's those four teams and they're seeded in a way that it looks competitive. So, but we'll see.
Yeah, they're gonna have to. Yeah, like you said, they're gonna have to find a way to get Ohio State in there. I think they will. I mean, they're gonna have to. So,
yeah, I mean that's what the committee's there for, to make sure, like the BCS, like computers never put like a Miami-Nebraska game that was like 2001 where Nebraska was like 9-3 and made it somehow like that. The committee is also there to make sure a G5 team can never make it. So,
Man, the BCS, that seems like a lifetime ago. we were kids. That's crazy. John, man, I appreciate you coming on. Always good to have you. Definitely. You christened the Rashawn Franklin podcast. So you always have an open invite. So anytime you want to come on to talk football or anything, man, let's just do it.
Appreciate it, man. It's always good to have a little therapy about UK when they're not doing the best. So always good to have somebody you trust talking to like that.
Absolutely. Man, I hope things change for both. I think you've convinced me that football's in a good spot, even though I'm never going to be a huge Mark Stoops fan, but you know, basketball is the one thing we have to worry about and going forward. And it's kind of ugly. So, yeah. All right, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate you.
All right. No problem, man.
All right. Peace.